This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Mark Boulanger.
I know that if we had more women in unions, we would have more equality in Canada.
That is Lana Payne, the Secretary Treasurer of Unifor. Unifor is Canada's largest private sector union with more than 315,000 members across the country. Before she became the union secretary treasurer in 2019, she was Unifor's Atlantic director, advocating for workers' rights and other issues. She helped win paid leave for victims of domestic violence in the region. As Unifor and other unions were preparing for International Women's Day, I asked Ms. Payne about her work, especially the work she has been doing on domestic violence.
Well, Mark, you know, I was pleased to be part of that advocacy work, as were many women throughout Unifor and the entire labor movement and across women's organizations in Canada. A lot of women were part of quite a concerted effort to get paid leave for victims of domestic violence in legislation across the country and in every jurisdiction across the country. And many of us were also part of making this a demand as well at collective bargaining tables. I was part of negotiations where we had this as a priority at the bargaining table as well. And I think if you consider that we were able to do this work in a relatively short period of time, when you think about the fact that over less than a decade, we managed to have such legislation in place in every jurisdiction in the country, is quite a feat. And really, it's a testament to what we can achieve when we organize around equality demand. As for the state of violence against women, domestic violence against women, I think we can all say that during the pandemic, this has been a very, very big problem. Many organizations who work with women abused by intimate partners have expressed quite deep concern of the impact the pandemic has had with respect to the severity of violence against women. The pandemic has often meant that women have been isolated in their homes, often cut off from family and friends, perhaps have had more difficulty as a result getting help or support, getting out of violent situations, probably had more challenges accessing health care because of the pandemic and just the toll it's taken on our country and on communities and on workers generally. The statistics have been pretty stable across a long period of time. We know that, you know, every 6 days in Canada, a woman is murdered by her intimate partner. We know that violence is felt and often spilled over into workplaces, which is one of the reasons that unions have taken up this cause, obviously, threatening women's economic security. So you can imagine if there are situations where women to go to work because of the violence that they face, that this can result in job precarity, and all the more reason to make sure that we things like paid domestic violence leave for women in workplaces across the country. And it's really important that unions use their economic power, their collective bargaining power, to deliver full equality for women. And there is no full equality until we can eliminate violence. That's the reality that we face. I think it's incredibly important that we also understand that different groups of women feel violence in different ways and are disproportionately impacted. We know that basically 4 in 10 women experience domestic violence or abuse in their lifetime. But also we know that Indigenous women and girls are 12 times more likely to be murdered or missing than other women in Canada. And understanding why that is and how we make changes there is incredibly important for unions, for governments, for organizations, for businesses, really for everybody in our society to find a solution to this. And for me, as a trade unionist, I've always felt that the solution is, you know, is the path forward is through equality and making sure that women have good jobs, have access to good jobs, have access to good benefits and support. And through that, they're able to have more economic security and as a result, be less vulnerable in our society. So I think it's really, really important that unions continue to do this work to advance equality for women across all jurisdictions, all communities, all spheres, and understanding that this requires different things for us to do, whether it's a collective bargaining table in terms of how we look at equity and how women are segregated in certain jobs and what we do to make sure that those jobs are well paid and are decent work for the women who do that work. Obviously, we haven't achieved full equality in Canada, but I believe it's really important that unions continue to push forward and to do this work. And obviously, International Women's Day is a good time for us to assess where we are with that work and to making a difference for women everywhere.
You mentioned the pandemic. How has the pandemic affected Unifor's members, especially its women members?
Yes. Well, of course, the pandemic has had a disproportionate impact on women. If you look at the sectors that face unemployment or underemployment or just really, really impacted by lockdowns, obviously the hospitality sector, aviation, non-kind of grocery retail sectors, these are sectors that employ a lot of women. And they're sectors that Unifor represents those workplaces. And we've seen, obviously, a drastic impact on the employment of women throughout the pandemic. And some of these sectors have been slower to recover, Mark. So that's been true as well. And then, of course, when you look at paid employment or sectors where women tended to be concentrated but didn't lose employment. So, for example, in the paid care sector, whether it's in child care or in health care, long-term care, we really saw the importance of these jobs, obviously, that kind of got amplified during the pandemic. But what we also saw is that this work was severely underpaid. And if you look at just the long-term care sector, which vast majority of the people working in that sector are women, and this was a sector that was already under strain prior to the pandemic. And what we saw, obviously, throughout the pandemic was just women working incredible numbers of hours per week, completely exhausted, having to do everything possible to care for the people in these long-term care homes, for our seniors, and really under the worst of working conditions that you can imagine, having to fight in the early days just for basic PPE. So this is what women were facing, whether it was they were losing jobs or they were working in very difficult working conditions during the pandemic. And while we saw some temporary bumps in pay for women in a lot of these positions, in many cases now that money has been revoked and we're back to fighting again to make sure that these women have decent work, decent pay, and decent working conditions. It's been a really, really tough time for a lot of these women workers. And truly, this is a sector that government has full control over and could be doing so much better. And yet, on the one hand, have called these women heroes, and on the other hand, have not treated them like heroes. It is absolutely shameful. And, you know, as a result, it means for us as trade unionists that this becomes a piece of work that we must continue to fight for and to fight for these women workers until they get justice. And I can guarantee you that Unifor will be there every single day doing exactly that. If you look as well, Mark, at a lot of women, Unifor members included, some had to give up their jobs because there was just no way around it. When we had daycares closed, childcare's not operating, obviously, children having to take schooling from home. For many women, all of these responsibilities became impossible to juggle, and some either had to give up the job that they had or find more flexible employment in order to be able to juggle all those responsibilities. So there's no doubt that this pandemic has had a different impact on women. And I think in order to ensure that we build a different society going forward, it's really important to understand how this pandemic has impacted women differently. And part of our job, obviously, throughout this global crisis has been to continue to point this out and to advocate for solutions to make women's work better.
You said that Unifor will always be there for its members. Tell us a bit about what the union does for its members.
We do this work in any number of ways, Mark, but for sure, the work we do at the collective bargaining table, which I'll talk to you a little bit about, but also what we do in terms of the broader societal work and in the political arena. Right now in Ontario, there's a piece of legislation that suppresses the wages of female-dominated occupations. That's Bill 124. We've been working very hard with other unions to push back against that legislation and to get it repealed so that women workers can have justice at the bargaining table and fair wages. We continue to push back against things like understaffing and under-resourcing long-term care and healthcare facilities, as I've mentioned. We also do a lot of work around pushing governments to make sure that minimum wage is a decent wage and a living wage. This has been an ongoing problem, and as we know, women occupy a lot of those lower wage paying jobs in our society and in our economy. So our work on that front continues with a number of organizations and advocacy groups in our communities who have been doing just incredible work on that front. The Fight for 15, which we all know now, you know, at least $18 in minimum wage is required to give most people a decent wage in this country. And then, of course, the lack of access to having a union in Canada. We have quite outdated labor law in many jurisdictions in the country, and we continue to push to make sure that we have better labor legislation. That is always top of mind for us as a trade union. I would also say that we've had a number of victories, Mark, because of decades-long work. We've seen some advances made in the last year or two for women. Obviously, the important work around universal child care with the federal government now finally coming forward. Every single province in Canada and territory has signed on to this universal affordable child care program, with the exception of Ontario, which is really a shame that Doug Ford is the last man standing on this. Ontario parents, Ontario women deserve affordable child care just as all women and all parents do in our country. Our work, obviously, as I've mentioned, to continue to advocate for fair minimum wages, for living wages for Canadian workers. Our work, for example, on employment insurance. We all know that the pandemic exposed some real problems with that program. It is an incredibly important program for Canadians, one of the most important social programs we have, and yet it just could not deliver the kinds of supports that were needed during the pandemic. Women have been disproportionately impacted by the rules in that program. So we have had a full-on campaign basically to have that program reformed so that it meets the needs of working Canadians. We've also done a ton of work as a union with many other unions in the federal jurisdiction in Canada to get pay equity as a law in the federal jurisdiction, and finally have made this a reality. And obviously now our work is happening in federal workplaces where we represent workers across the country to make sure that employers are living up to this law. So we're doing a lot on that front as well. We've been doubling down on our program to push for employment equity, as well as creating training programs and opportunities and preparing to participate in the federal government's Employment Equity Task Force consultations that'll be happening soon. We've done any number of things at the collective bargaining table to advance and improve the working conditions of women, including their wages and benefits. That continues to be an ongoing goal of ours. And I think it's really, really important to recognize if we're able to improve labor legislation so that more women have the right to a union. This is really the most reliable tool we have for economic and gender justice for women and for working people. So that work of pressuring government to really improve labor legislation for the next generation of workers, I think, is going to be critical, not just for today, but for the years ahead as we push forward on that front. We all know that the world of work is changing, and women are really shouldering a lot of that. But governments need to recognize that direct access to a union for gig and precarious workers in every jurisdiction is critically important here. Every worker needs to have access to collective bargaining rights, and that continues to be a high priority for our union. I know that if we had more women in unions, we would have more equality in Canada.